Blog Talk Radio.
Vote on some things, and so it takes us
all to do that. So shalom, family. How's everybody?
Shalom, Brother Miles. I'm doing
shalom,
great.
Shalom, my sister. Amen.
Shalom, family. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom,
right.
Family.
Shalom, hallelujah. All right, we are going to do our statement of faith. We're going to pray in, and if I forget, somebody remind me. Somebody remind me to call this meeting into order, okay? Because
there are
a couple of meetings, I forgot to do it. Hey, you know, I don't know where my mind has been, but, you know, we want to do everything decent and in order. All right, our statement of faith. Scrolling in the wrong document. Let me go back down before I lose my place. All right, let me pull up the right document. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, through Messiah, who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13.
Amen.
Amen. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah, because truly our Elohim is worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Who is like unto our Elohim? There is none like unto him. No, not one. And Father, we will always praise you and give you the glory and the honor, hallelujah, and the respect that you are due. For you are our Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And we just want to magnify you and lift you up and extol you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to you, Yah, our Elohim. Hallelujah to our Elohim, my Elohim and your Elohim. He is great and marvelous, loving and merciful and kind.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
We thank you, Father, and we glorify you each and every day, for truly you are worthy. May all the ladies to cover your heads if they're not already covered. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to fellowship, Father, and to be in one mind. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked way, and repent of our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. And we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. Father, we ask that you would turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people, Israel. Hear our supplications and our prayers, and deliver us from this captivity that you have sent us into. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work this evening to take care of your business, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of Psalms, 133. The book of Psalms, 133. And we're going to get verses 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion. For Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen. Right.
I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. All in favor?
I second the motion.
Thank you. Thank you for the second. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All right. We got more people than that, so you're not on mute. All in favor?
Aye.
Amen.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is now officially in session. I pray that everyone, you know, understand that this is group participation. Okay, and I know we may be tired, we may be just getting off work, we may be got our feet propped up, but I pray that we have your full attention and that you are ready to participate. Last week, we were talking about the Zaquin, the elders, and what their role is in Yah's global kingdom. As the Most High has shown me, that they must be holy, they must be spirit-filled, they must meet the same requirements as any minister should meet. The elders, as I said, in Israel, even coming out of Egypt, or when Moses went into Egypt, the Most High sent him to the elders of Israel. Because the elders of Israel were supposed to be in governance at that time over the people. When he brought them into the wilderness, he didn't change that. Okay? He selected, remember that Israel is a nation of priests, but Israel also has a priesthood that's over it. So Israel itself is supposed to be a nation of priests to the world. All the tribes supposed to be holy, supposed to be sanctified, okay? But they also had a priesthood because when Moses came down from the mountain and the people were in they were being riotous, they were, you know, partying and having orgies and all this kind of stuff that they were doing, and he killed a lot of them. But then it was the Levitical priesthood, the tribe of Levi, that stood by Moses and became the priesthood, okay? So we got a nation of priests that needed to have a priesthood over them. But all of the tribes were intended to be part of the priesthood, and we got to understand that. The elders in Israel always played the portion that the priesthood is the go-between between the Most High and the people. Okay, that's the priesthood job. The Levitical priesthood job was to minister to the Most High and to be the go-between between the people and the Most High. The elders' job was to enforce the law. So the same time that Moses brought the law down and presented it to the priesthood, he presented it also to the elders. And then he assigned, you know, in the wilderness, I think it was 70 elders to help him to govern at the mouth of Jethro. And I think you should go look at Jethro sometimes, Moses' father-in-law, the priest of Midian, because he offered sacrifice unto the Most High and for the elders and Moses. And so this office of elder, as we talked on last week, you know, is to be very esteemed. But their job from the very beginning was to enforce the law. The priesthood, that was not the priesthood's job. His job was to minister to the Most High in his tabernacle and in his temple to help make the sacrifices that the people brought. It was the elders that enforced the law. And when you go through the scriptures, I'll do that study, that precept here coming up sometime. When you go through the elders of Israel, when you look at their job, you know, they govern between cities. If somebody did something wrong and they ran into, you know, one of the safe cities, it was the elders that were supposed to keep them safe. If there was a crime committed between cities, nobody knew who did it. It was the elders that took out the sacrifice right in the middle between both of the cities and offered it, put, you know, laid hands on it and said, hey, we don't know anything. We don't know anything about this. Okay. So even in the church, what has happened in the messianic body of Messiah, what has happened is that this role of elder, Zaquin, has been watered down. It's been reduced to almost nothing. You know, we say an elder, but a lot of people don't really have respect of an elder. It's just my opinion, okay, what I've been seeing. And, you know, what I see from a lot of the brothers that have not respect of the elders. Now, you know, if the elders are doing stuff they're not supposed to do, a lot of them feel slighted or not church hurt, but elder hurt. When you are not full of the Ruach HaKodesh and you are in a position of power, then you can abuse that power more readily than if you were filled, if you truly filled by the Ruach. So, you know, a lot of people get positions and they get power and maybe they take advantage of it, or maybe the people just don't respect them from the very beginning. But it cannot be so in the kingdom. Cannot be so as part of this ministry. That's why I'm, you know, very particular and careful about who I want to let be in those positions, because the Most High holds those positions with high regard, and the people should hold them with high regard and respect. And so if there's an elder that is clearly out of order, you know, I want to have, you know, the scriptures always says by two or three witnesses. That's not going to change. Because, you know, anybody can come with an accusation. If he's done something wrong and, you know, somebody comes to me with it, it's not that I'm going to, if it's just one person, not that I'm going to disregard it, but, you know, you put those things, you put them where they belong. I'm not going to come against the brother. But if more people start coming with the same accusations, then you know everybody ain't going to tell the same lie. So if more than one person is coming with it, then typically there's going to be some truth behind it, okay? So then that's when, you know, it would be opened up and looked at, because everybody needs to be held accountable. You know, everybody needs to be trustworthy. We need to know that we are of the same mind and that, you know, we're not trying to do things to get over on people. We're not trying to use our position to take advantage of somebody that may be weak in the flesh. Because there are, I've seen too many people who fall into those traps. Okay? And men and women, both guilty. So we got to make sure that people who are put into those positions, that they understand who they represent. They don't represent me. They represent the Most High Elohim. You know, each one of us has to understand that. And that's a problem with a lot of people, because if somebody is truly a man or a woman of the Most High, you need to be very careful how you address them, how you talk to them. At least the Most High get on you. So we have to be understanding that, you know, we need to give honor to whom honor is due. We need to give respect to whom respect is due. And anybody that goes into these positions, you know, they have to be respectable. They have to be living the light. They have to be able to teach the scripture. So they have to be hospitable. They have to be honorable. They have to have integrity. You know, one thing I personally don't really like is non-integrity. Because, if you don't have no integrity, I don't know when to believe you. I want to give, my nature is to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I first meet you, you ain't got to prove nothing to me. I'm going to take you at your word. And then if your words start proving that, you know, it's not trustworthy, then I'm going to take you at your word that you're not trustworthy. Because if everything... My philosophy and how I've lived my life and how I look at people is, if you lose everything, if you had no money, you had no house, you had no home, and your word was no good, then what do you have? Because if you ain't got nothing, you got your word, and you're completely in control of that. So if your word is no good, then you are no good. Okay? So we want to make sure that we have integrity. You know, things can slip here and there. We're human. But for all practical purposes, so let it be said, so let it be done. And if you say you're going to do something, then do it. If you say you're not going to do something, then don't do it. Have integrity. Have honesty. That is how trust is built. Like I said, I will give you that trust from the beginning until you show me otherwise. So that is, you know, the way that I am. I don't put anybody in a you know, any type of definition, even when I first meet you. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to, how do I say this? I'm not crazy, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that if you're telling me something, that you're not lying. If you are, you know, and the Spirit of the Most High, if you are really that wicked, trust me, he'll let me know. He said, not that one. So we got to understand this office of elder and anybody that's in that position, they have to have integrity. They have to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Have to be eligible. Should y'all say this one is to be a leader, a pastor, or whatever other position the Most High may say? They have to qualify for that. And so we want to make sure that anybody and everybody coming into those positions, that they are worthy of it. Okay? Let's go. The one paragraph we left off on last week, and then we're going to get into the Melchizedek order ministry, okay? I'm going to read a paragraph to you. This is about the appointment of the elders, or the Zaquin. Appointment any appointments, any vacancies occurring in the Zaquin, or any Zaquin to be added by reason of an increase in the number of elders. And I put it, and I probably should change that to Zaquins as well. We understand what that word Zaquin means, order, elders, I'm sorry, shall be filled by appointment of the chief priest. However, the chief priest shall present to the body from the pulpit or any means he may choose to use the name or names of the individuals to be selected as Zaquins, and shall allow those who object to be named individual to be given an opportunity to present to the chief priest. In other words, whoever I choose, I'm going to tell you who they are in a public forum, okay, that I have chosen this person for this position. If there are any objections from the body, because maybe there's something hidden, maybe, you know, there's something that hasn't been brought to light, but the Most High, you know, they want to bring it to light, then we're going to let them do that. Okay, to object to that individual, to be given an opportunity to present to the chief priest, and they can do this in writing. Such objections to be willing to sit down with the chief priest, the Zaquin, that person, or the other elders, and the candidate to discuss the candidacy. This announcement shall be made 30 days before the proposed appointment, with all objections to be made in writing within 14 days of the announcement. So, eventually, as we get the people to fill these positions, then it won't be solely my decision. I have the last say. I will more than likely make the selection and the proposal, but I'm going to also want to count on the other elders. You know, it's not a dictatorship. So how do you feel about this brother? How have you observed him? Have you seen, you know, how he conducts himself? Do you know him personally? Meaning, have you seen him in real life? I remember when I was in the church and they were selecting me to become a deacon in the church. And so we were cleaning out the garage, you know, at the church. And the garage, you know, was full of scorpions and tarantulas. And so they picked up this box and didn't tell me, you know, just threw the box to me without me knowing. They wanted to see what my reaction was going to be. Whether I was going to say, oh, you know, and cut or something like that. But it was not my nature anyway.
Oh, thank you.
And so they sort of looked at me and smiled. I said, what kind of reaction were you looking for? Because, you know, people want to see how you are going to react, you know, out of spot moment. I seen a dude, somebody else, and, you know, they was like, oh, S-H-I-T. And everybody looked like, what? Yeah, so it's that kind of testing. Look and see how they are with their wives and their kids, if they have that. You know, what is their reputation? Do they go out and party? You know, when they leave from among us, are they different? It says, lay hands suddenly on no man. What he's talking about is examine. Make sure that whoever you're selecting, that they are worthy of that honor. Okay. So I got a lot of static coming up from somebody's phone. Found it. That's where I thought it was coming from. All right. So we got to understand that these members, when they are announced that, you know, they're going to be giving this position, even in a local assembly, then we want, you know, if anybody wants to object to them being assigned to that position, the congregation has the authority to do that. Okay, as I said, this is not a dictatorship. those that are being placed in those positions and the bodies that they're being assigned to. We want them to be respected by that body. You know, I'm not going to deal with jealousies and all those kind of things, contentions. If there are no real objections, if there's no real charges that can be brought against the brother, then, you know, we're all human and we can all get caught up in our feelings, but we want to come into one mind, and if it's, the, you know, if there's no charges brought and Most High says this is where they're going to be at, then that's where they're going to be at. Okay. So we want to put that vehicle in place so that people can use it, so that they understand that, hey, that, you know, I know that brother's doing this or he's doing that. How do you know? Were you there doing that with him, or how do you know? How did you see this? You know, I've seen, you know, too many congregations where the men will have the heart of the pastor. And if you want to know what's going on in the pastor's life, look at the men that he has around him. Because, you know, it's a true saying, birds of a feather will flock together. So if I'm, you know, drinking and smoking and jiving around and going out to, you know, wherever, and the men in my congregation know that, and they'd like to do it, they're going to stick around and we're going to be drinking buddies and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't work for me. I don't really deal with a whole lot of men to begin with because I'm not out in the world, number one. But number two, all those that I deal with, I want them to be of the same mind. This kingdom business is number one for me, above everything. And so, you know, the men that I hang around, they're going to hang around me. They're not going to ever hear me talking about some sister and or how fine she is or any of that kind of stuff. It ain't, you know, it ain't about that. They ain't going to hear about no past conquest, no none of that kind of stuff. We have to be walking upright and holy, all of us. So, you know, I know that it's going to be hard to get brothers because most of them want to continue doing what they're doing. I'm not the one for that. I take my salvation seriously. And when the scripture tells me that as the pastor, I have to give an account of each one of you, I don't want y'all turning around pointing at me talking about, how are you going to take a report from him when he was doing this, 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 and this? No credibility. No, I take this seriously. And so we can't be going through all of that. We can't be doing all of that. We can't be saying all of that. Can't be playing around like that. That's why the scripture says the thought of foolishness is sin. Do we hear that? The thought of foolishness is sin. So I don't want to be getting in no situation with any of the brothers where, you know, they think like it's okay to do that with me. I've had a couple that tried. I'm like, hell, yo, wait a minute. I'm not the one. You need help in this thing? That's one thing. Then let's see how we can help you. But to just sit here and talk with you about this or about that in that way, no, I'm not the one, brother. You have to go somewhere else with that, but not here. All right? So I expect the elders and those men that are in those positions to be of that same mind and heart. And yeah, we have to be called to a higher standard. And I don't mind being called to that higher standard. What I'm going to mind is if a brother wants to be in that position, but he don't want to live by a higher standard, then no, brother, you can't do this. It's not for you. At least not here. Not for you. Not trying to put a stumbling block in front of anyone. And when people are coming to you, you know, I need to know that they can trust you. So that is the bottom line with the elders. Have to be of the same character as if they were going to be a pastor or a bishop from the scriptures. Have to be of that same character. Let's go to... We're going to be talking about the Melchizedek order. And I was just doing a review over the elders and the holiness that the elders are called to. So you know that. And the elders, you know, the positions that, you know, and the duties that they will be assigned will be to oversee the people. That's what their job is in the scriptures, to go out and pray for people, to go out and deliver the food and that kind of stuff. You know, to have teams that they oversee that do this stuff, that help to take care of the father, the widowless, and the homeless. That will have the time to go into the prisons. So this is their job, or will be their job. Let's talk about the Melchizedek order, the ministry. If the elders, I've already told you what their requirements are, they got to be holy, then you know that the priest can be no less than that. And has to be striving to be more than that. Has to understand that, you know, his position is really to minister to the Most High and to the people. Be the go-between. So let's look at this. The Melchizedek order. The ministry, the priesthood. A person may become a covenant fellowship partner of the order through an appointment by the chief priest. After meeting the qualifications and subscribing to the following vows. A vow of chastity. If this man is not married, don't have a wife, he shouldn't be sleeping with nothing. Not even his hand. Nothing. This is where their heart has to be. Has to be chaste. You know, you're not married. You can't be sitting here running through the sisters. That will get you sat down and kicked out quick. Now, that don't mean he can't get married. But he's not going to be unmarried and living with a sister. It ain't going to work. Won't even qualify. Yo, brother, no. Not going to be having two or three wives either. If you want to have two or three wives, it disqualifies you. Obedience to Yah in all things. And to the local zakim to respect their duties of their ministry. So just because you're the priest don't mean that you can talk down to the elders that are in place. They got a position and a job just like you do. They report to you, but that don't mean that you get to treat them any kind of way. Have to be respect, have respect of their positions, understanding his own position. Recognition of the high calling of their office. They got to know what they're called to. And its scriptural significance. It's not your job to be over the people, unless there's no elders there, then, you know, sometimes you got to wear two hats. But the truth of the matter is, you got to understand the differences in the positions and have respect of them and know exactly what where their place is and where the place of the elder is. Have a devotion to service and the performance of their duties of their ministry. You know, they got to have a, you know, what the Most High has put on my heart is, they got to love the people, but they should have a relationship with the Most High and love the Most High more. Don't let the people influence you into things, to doing things that are contrary to the Most High. And you'll see this throughout, you know, throughout all time, because people want to be liked. They want to be accepted. Some people like attention, and attention from, you know, if that's what they're there for, attention from other people, was the people of the congregation, that might be what they're there for. And I'm going to be like, no. You know, your first obligation is to the Most High. The elder's obligation is to the people. Your first obligation is to the Most High, and being able to teach from that position and to direct from that position. Because we see way too many times brothers try to be chummy with the people, try to be afraid of the people. They usually end up doing something to make the people happy that makes the Most High unhappy. And so the brothers, you know, in these positions have to understand that. I mean, I love you all. And I couldn't love the Most High and not love you. But my heart is for the Most High. My heart is to present his side of the story to you. It's to tell you things from his position. This is the gift that he's given me, to represent him and to tell you from his position, from the scriptures. So I'm going to always present his side of it. I'm human. I know what we go through. He knows what we go through too. But the truth of the matter is, you need to understand from his position. That's my job and the job of all the other priests, to show you from his position. This is how the Most High sees this. And if we are true and we have integrity and we are learned and we are, well, let me stop that. First of all, full of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Number one. Can't see any man in that position that is not full of the Ruach. And if you don't have no evidence of it, I'm going to be like, brother, I don't see no evidence. I hear you saying it, but I don't see the requisite evidence from the scriptures. Because anybody can say, and I hate to say it this way, but anybody can say that they have the Ruach. But the scripture gives us the evidence. I'm not going to go against the word. It's the exact thing that I prayed for to the Most High. I said, I want to have the same experience that the apostles had. I want to know that I know that I know. I don't want to be guessing. I don't want to be thinking. I want to know. I don't want it to be anything else, because, you know, I was in the church for years, and I fought being filled with the Ruach, and I didn't like physically fight with it. I resisted in the back of my mind because I knew there were some things I was doing that I didn't want to stop doing. I knew this, so even when I would go tarry to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, well, what happened is something would come in my mind. You have to stop doing this. You have to stop doing that. And it was the enemy. But I was allowing him to do it because it was him and it was part me. Okay, just be truthful. It was him and it was part me. And, you know, when you're called of the Most High, he said his word will not return unto him void. So that's how I know I was called, because when I resisted, even when I was resisting, he still came and got me. He still put it before my eyes, before my brain, before my mind. I will not forever call you. He didn't have to do that. He could have allowed me to resist and allowed me to die in my sin. And I would have had nobody to blame but me. So I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm telling you something that I know for a fact. The Most High still fills with his Ruach HaKodesh, and if he calls you, don't resist him. Because I'm going to tell you, I am very, 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 very blessed. He didn't have to do that. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. That, you know, and I could have said, oh, the day that I first felt the unction, but, you know, when I was 21, I had the dream and you woke me up and said, preach my word. But I heard, I will not forever call you. I heard that. Physically heard it. And I knew who it was. And trust me, I did not harden my heart, but I ran toward the Most High with everything that I had because I knew what he was saying. I'm about to get up, give up on you. I'm about to call you to be a reprobate, a reject. So there's nothing that anybody could ever say to me, could ever tell me, could ever do to me that could ever take that from me. It's where my conviction comes from. Because I know, I don't think, I don't just believe, I know that the Most High called me. I know that what he told me, I know that he filled me. Even with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I said, I want to have this same experience they have. I don't want to be around here guessing or just saying, yeah, I believe, but there's a doubt somewhere. There, you know, am I just saying this? So the Most High took all that away from me. I don't have an excuse. I want the men that he sends as a priesthood to also want that same experience. So they can walk in the same authority and walk in the same confidence that I am a child of the Most High Elohim. He has chosen me with signs following. Not just that I believe because I need to believe. There's nothing wrong with that faith, but I personally wanted to know. I don't want there to be a doubt that you have chosen me. I don't want there to be a doubt that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know my heart. If I know this, there's no way I'm letting it go. That's just my nature. I'm not letting this go. Can't let it go. Would never let it go. Would never be offensive and the more you teach me, Most High Elohim, the more I will hold myself accountable to. Hungry and thirsty for the Most High, and that's the way I want the other priests to be. That same hunger, that same desire. You know, and I understand that not everybody's of the same persuasion. But in as much as it's in me, if Yah says that this is a priest, then I'm going to try to help them, exhort them to achieve that same level or greater. Because, you know, we need to want to do this thing with all our might. everything that's within us. So, the requirements for the Melchizedek order. So, you know, as I said, they got to be, if they're not married, they got to be chaste. Ain't no such thing as you going to be running around here shacking up. You're going to be running around here, you know, chasing a sister. You got this what do they call them? Side something in the world. No, not going to be having no concubines. You know, this woman's been with me for years, and I'm the only man she's with. Have you married her? Not going to be like the priest in the scripture that was running around with the concubine. Those things don't work. It's out of order. So, obedience to Yah in all things. A must. Must be a praying man. Must, you know, be able to hear from the Most High. Take the office, the duties of his office seriously. Covenant fellowship priest of the Melchizedek order. Now, we all understand from previous teachings that our high priest is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, Yeshua HaMashiach. We must be of the same order. We are not of the Levitical priesthood. Some of us may be by blood. But when we come into Messiah, we change priesthoods and we come up under the order of the Melchizedek priesthood. And see, under the Melchizedek priesthood, then these priests must also be tithing, just like the elders must be tithers. They must be giving the Most High his. They must be able to give offerings. Can't be doing something, expecting one thing out of the people, and they themselves don't do it. That's not going to work. And they have to be men that purpose in their heart what they're going to give to the Most High. Must have a relationship. Must take it 100% serious. Number one, all fellowship partners of this order, and these are partners. We are all in this together. There is a structure. And we have to understand that we are all of one body. So we should be looking out for the good of the body. Don't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter, as long as the Most High has called you to this, then we have to be about the body. About the care and the nourishment of the body. And we may be from different parts of the body, but we're still part of the same body. That's why we have to understand that if we are a body and we're individual members within that body, we're not going to all have the same needs, because we may be, you know, as I said before, the eye don't need to be clipped like a toenail. Your toenails don't need Visine on them. Heart muscle doesn't need the same thing that a gluteus muscle needs. And so this is where people get tripped up, because they want everybody to have the same need, but we may be part of a different part of the body. And we have to be able to recognize that and minister to that part of the body. So they're going to have to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, must be, with evidence of speaking in tongues, requirement. can't come to me and say, I can quote the Bible. Okay. Let's pray together, brother. Let's worship the Most High together. Let's summon the Spirit of the Most High and have him to speak. You and I. Let's see what happens. Because the truth of the matter is, at one time I was my pastor's armor bearer. And so the Most High had been preparing me for, you know, certain offices for a minute. You know, from being an armor bearer to a deacon to an elder to a pastor. And when I was my pastor's armor bearer, where he went, I went. He go out of town, I go out of town. He's in the pulpit, I'm in the pulpit. I could not have service or, let's say, church with everybody else because I was his armor bearer and I was his overseer. And even when people came up for prayer, I would be right there behind him. And that's how I realized I had the gift of healing because, you know, where they would hurt at, I wouldn't even hear what they were saying. But I would feel in my body where they were hurting at. He and I would go up after the service, and he and I would have church. He and I would be praising the Most High, just him and I. And so I used to have to look over him. If, you know, the Most High, the Spirit of the Most High was still heavy on this man, I wouldn't even let him greet people. Why? Because a lot of people don't realize who they're dealing with. They see a man, not realizing that they're dealing with the Most High, and come up with some foolishness and end up sick or something worse. And when I first started doing that, he would, you know, he would resist it at first. But then he would see the Spirit of the Most High on me and just say, yes. And just fall in place. And it just was understood that this is how it was. So, got to have a relationship with the Most High. Got to be willing to converse with him. Has to be real to that person. You know, my pastor had other armor bearers. And let me do this. My pastor had other armor bearers, and they would say, we don't have the same relationship that you have with him. So what do you mean? We don't ever come in here and have church like this, the way you and he have church. I said, well, I don't know how you got selected as his armor bearer. But I was looking at my pastor, and I can't remember the exact circumstances, but I could see the weight of the entire congregation on him. And I said, Most, I said, who ministers to the pastor? And the next day, I mean, this was something I said to myself. The next day he came and said, I want you to be my armor bearer. I said, okay, I hear you. The Most High answered me through him. So these men must have a relationship with the Most High. They must be hearing from him. Else, what are they doing? What are you doing? You don't have a relationship with the Most High? You're not full of the Ruach HaKodesh? How? You can't be in this position, even if you desire it. Because I know there's going to be men that come and want to and desire this position. But if they're not full of the Ruach, they cannot. All fellowship partners of this Melchizedek order must be in covenant fellowship with this body or a body of like faith, which is approved by the chief priest. You know, as I said, we are not the entire body. We will never be the entire body. We are members of one body. And the Most High will show us other groups that he is with, that they belong to me too. I don't want ever want anybody to say, Brother Miles said, this is it. This is all that there is. This is the end all and be all. No. So as the Most High shows, we don't have to join as one, but we may be in fellowship with other believers that the Most High is filled with his spirit and has them doing something that he wants them to do. And if we can work together with them, fine. We want to be of that mind, of that understanding. All fellowship partners of the Melchizedek Order must be at least 20 years old of age before making their profession that they want to do this. You know from a child that this is what you want to come into. And depending upon, you know, I'm also let the Ruach lead me in that. Because the truth of the matter is, the Most High might say, you know, that 18-year-old, I've got my hands on him. And sometimes even a child. But before they can come officially in the priesthood, normally it's going to be the guy to be 20 years old. But I'm going to always listen to the Ruach HaKodesh. All fellowship partners of the Melchizedek Order will be commissioned and are authorized to teach the gospel, as well as to assist ordain ministry in baptism, marriages, administering the sacraments of the body, in addition to any other duties assigned to them as part of this priesthood and part of this order. So I have the ability to license ministers and to license elders and to license priests as part of this organization is automatically built in. The Most High says, hey, you need to be, you don't, I don't want you up under another organization. I don't want you having to go and teach what others say you have to teach, because they're just not going to teach what you're teaching. They're not going to teach what I'm giving you to teach. They're not going to organize and be like I'm giving you to be organized. So this coming of this ministry is not an overnight thing. Even before the date of 16, the Most High had already, long before that, had me studying how this needed to be organized. And when I would go to do the paperwork, no, you can't do it like that. That's going to place you up under the government, and you can't be up under the government. You are a government unto yourself. My kingdom is a government unto itself, so you cannot place yourself up under them. And so just understand that we are separate and apart. When you join this organization, if you understand, as I was talking during citizenship, when you join this organization, then you understand that you can't think like you used to think. You're not a citizen of this world. You're not a citizen of this country. Well, you got dual citizenship, but your first citizenship should be to the kingdom of the Most High. And if you really understand that, then you'll understand that the governments of this world really have no say over you, unless you put yourself in subjection to them. But you got to understand this thing, and it has to be real for you. The kingdom of Yah is real. It is a kingdom outside of the kingdoms of this world, and the world kingdoms recognize it. You have to recognize it. You have to understand it. Walk in it. No, we're not going to do those things. No, I'm able to preach and teach anything I want to, and the government can't say anything about it. Can't come against me and say, oh, we're going to file charges because X, Y, Z. No, you're not. I'm not subject to you that way. The Most High ensured that I set it up that way. This is a separate government outside of the world government and recognized by every government in the world. Now, does that mean that they're going to always be honorable? No. But that's why I have my king. I petition my king. Most of you said, go and do this. They don't want to let me. I need for you to make a way where there's no way. And count on him. Because legally, they have no say. And so all the priests in this ministry have to understand that. And they have to walk in that. I am in this world, but I am not of it. I pray we can hear this. I am in this world, but not of it. I am in the United States, but my home country is called heaven. And it is a real country. It is a real kingdom, and the kingdoms of the world recognize it. You being a member, you need to also recognize it. And see, the problem is going to be with a lot of people is they're not going to truly understand that concept. And so they're going to try to do some things, and a lot of our brothers have tried to do certain things like this, and then the government comes against them because they had no integrity. They weren't doing what they said they were doing. So we got to understand that we are part of Messiah's body, but we're also of a kingdom that is being set up in this world. And we're not supposed to take it by violence. Until our king comes, then it's going to be a whole different thing. We're supposed to be loving and kind. We're supposed to attract people because we're meek and we're humble. And that don't mean weak. When I said meek, that don't mean weak when I said humble. But we are not all puffed up and trying to be all that in a bag of chips. We represent the Most High Elohim. He says, love your enemies. Love your brothers. We're going to do what our Elohim says. And every priest that joins this ministry has to understand it, but has to understand that we are in this world and really understand the concept that we are not of it. So we can, when the Most High gives me the ability to make the IDs, when it says that you're a member of Yah's global kingdom, it will stand for something. I am not a member of this country. I'm a member of this country. You could pull it out. And it's be recognized. Oh, wait a minute. Just like you were a citizen of Morocco or of Spain, and you're riding around in the U.S. No, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Yah, with all rights and privileges that go with that. I hope we can hear the difference here. This is not a game. The Most High said, establish my kingdom in the earth. Every priest that the Most High sends has got to understand that. Because they will have to also be toward that work. The elders will need to be toward that work. all of the citizens will need to be toward that work. Not just doing something, not just occupying a seat to occupy a seat. Not just occupying space to occupy space. This is a paradigm change. This is a change in believing the Most High and doing what it is that he said to do. So the priesthood will be ordained to marry people, will be ordained to baptize people, will be ordained to administer in the sacraments, like the Last Supper, Passover. Those things have to be trained in it, have to understand the spirit behind it, because trust me, I don't care how many places the Most High gives me to put up under me, to minister to, they're not going to be disrespecting HaMashiach, not going to be using the Passover as an occasion to get drunk, not going to be using Yah's Supper as an occasion to get drunk. Not what it's about. It's about respect and remembering what he died for, giving him honor, lifting him up, always appreciating what he had to go through, always reverencing that he made a way for us out of no way. Not just, you know, we got a feast day, so let's get some alcohol, and after we drink this after we get this body and this blood, then we're going to party. And we're going to get drunk? No. No. They do discern. They don't discern the Most High's body. They don't discern what he went through. They don't even listen to what he said. Do this in remembrance of my death. So no, they have to be taught and have an understanding that when we have Passover, or when we do New Moon service, or Tabernacles, or any of the other feast days, Pentecost, the Day of Yah, that there is a meaning behind them, and we need to show respect to all of those. The Most High said, there's a day that we come to have a party with him. He says, whatever you want, bring it with you. Like once every, I have to look it up again, every three or I think it's every 3 years. You can come and you can drink and do whatever with him. Everything decent and in order. Okay? So the priesthood has to understand. It's why they have to be trained. That's why they have to be in attendance. My teachings that the Most High give to me are not just for me. They have to have the understanding. So they're not walking crazy. They're not disrespecting the Most High. But reverencing him. Not just using this book to attract females and then end up in adulterous relationships. You can't be about none of that stuff. Have to be to a very high integrity. Have to fear the Most High. Have to fear being out of step with him. Have to have the ability to transfer that understanding to whoever they're put over. And the easiest way to transfer that is to, or to transmit it, is to have it in them. It's very hard to transmit something to someone that you don't have. If you don't have no fear of the Most High, you can't transfer fear of the Most High. If you have no love of the Most High, you can't transfer love of the Most High. If you don't love your brother or your sister, you can't transfer love to your brother or your sister. Sooner or later, the real you will come out. So we got to understand this. The all fellowship partners of the Melchizedek order must be commissioned and are authorized to teach the gospel as well as to assist ordained ministers in baptism, marriages, ministering the sacraments of the body, in addition to any other duties assigned to them as fellowship partners of the Melchizedek order. All fellowship partners must be persons of mature messianic character who are known for his or her devotion. Now, this operation of the female in this environment, the woman, the womb man, the Most High is still dealing with me in this area. There are some things that we're going to allow women to do, and there are some things we're not going to allow them to do. Has to be decent and in order, and when they come into it, they have to have that understanding. So, you know, I'm not a, I know that there are prophetesses and other women in the scripture that you may not even see them there. You might think that's a male that's there in the scripture, but it's a woman. But everything decent and in order, and the Most High will have to say. You know, as I tell all the ladies now, there are things that I cannot minister to you about. I don't have, I'm not a female. I'm not a woman. And there are things that a woman cannot minister to a man about. So everything decent and in order. But, you know, every woman's going to have to be covered. All female, all females, all fellowship partners. Had that on my mind, just came out. All fellowship partners must, let's see, completion of the probationary period. They're, you know, like the scripture says, don't lay hands on anybody suddenly. It's good that they desire to do that thing, but they got to also be willing to submit themselves. If you can't, if anybody thinks that the Most High is not an Elohim of order, then they really don't know the Most High Elohim. And so we are going to be decent and in order. So there is a probationary period. And it can be from 90 days, it can be up to a year. It's going to really be, what's going to determine is what the Most High says. So, any priest that comes in, into this order, has to understand that they must be in submission. That there is a structure, there is a government, that they go into and fill the slot that the Most High says that they fill. It must be ready to perform those duties, but also know that they are accountable. Board of Council. The Board of Council shall be professional men. These aren't necessarily priests or elders. So hear what I'm saying, the Board of Council. The Board of Council shall be professional men or women from the community, from the congregation of the body, chosen by the chief priest for the purpose of seeking counsel as to many secular matters. Everything is not always about, you know, you still got to deal with the world. In which the body may be involved. In essence, insurance, real estate purchases, mortgages, financing. They shall meet when called into session by the chief priest. Got to understand that the Most High is going to provide for the body. Not everybody's supposed to be a priest. Not everybody's supposed to be in a position of an elder. Not everybody even wants to be in those positions. Understanding that we all are priests, but then the priests have a priest. We've got to understand the order. And so if they're not doing those duties, if they're not called to those duties, still got to live a holy life, but they can also present what? Counsel. They're going to be out amongst the people in the world. They may be a lawyer. They may be an insurance agent. But they still love Yah and they still want to do those things. Well, you know, I'm not an insurance agent. I'm not a lawyer, not in the sense of the world being a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not, you know, a mortgage broker. But if as God gives them to us and they get the understanding that we're working and building for the kingdom, then it shouldn't be all about them making the money, even though, yes, we're going to make sure that they get paid what they want to get paid. I believe in that. You need to be happy in this transaction. The Most High needs to be happy in it. So let's make it good all the way around. You know, when I was in business for myself, one of the first things I had to learn, that contracts had to be win-win. I saw a lot of people go out of business because they tried to charge too little for their services. And then when something went wrong and they didn't make a whole lot of money or didn't make the money that they wanted to make for the service they were providing, they didn't want to go back. They didn't, you know, I got to, you know, I can't go back over here for these many hours for free. I need to be making money. But because they went at it with the wrong attitude, if you made your money, you need to stand by your service or your product, then it shouldn't hurt you because, you know what, negative reviews travel faster than positive. You think somebody will tell somebody about you how good you are? Yeah, they'll do that sometimes. But let you do something wrong, they'll tell that in a hurry. So, you know, I had to learn that, hey, if I need to be happy in this transaction and you need to be happy in this transaction, and then if I give you a warranty or the service is not, you know, what you expected and you paid the price that I asked, and I need to be willing to come back and make it right. Integrity. So these people will have to be the same way, and they can come and they can, you know, do business with the kingdom, do business for the kingdom. I pray that we can hear this. Let's go to First Chronicles. The book of First Chronicles, chapter 12. First Chronicles, chapter 12, and when you have it, you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. So these are people that understand that the Most High gives wisdom and understanding in these things. Whether it's insurance or whether it's mortgage, it's, you know, it's time to do this, it's time to do that. The property that the Most High is going to have me to purchase here soon is not for my personal use. It's for the kingdom. The structure that is being set up is not supposed, if he don't come back, it's not supposed to die with me. It's not supposed to die with any of us. It's supposed to be set up in such a way that it will continue. has to be set up that way. It has to become its own entity, and we have to make it so. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. So we're looking for those men who have understanding of the time, who understand this is what time it is. It's time to get busy with the Most High's kingdom. It's time to get busy with, oh, we need to be looking for these things at this time. We can leverage this. We can leverage that. All for the purpose of the kingdom. And trust me when I say this. We might start off dealing with somebody in the world if so be that way, if the Most High says so. But the goal will be to do business with kingdom citizens. With kingdom citizens. So I hope we can hear this. Proverbs chapter 11. And let's get verse 14. When you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I'm not an island unto myself. I'm not trying to do this all by myself. I'm trying to do what the Most High has directed me to do and to find those people who are willing and committed to doing the same thing. Those that understand the vision and are willing to come to work in the kingdom. And you may have to understand, sometimes you may be out working in the world, but it's still for the benefit of what? The kingdom. Until we have means such that you don't have to work for the world. You can just work for the kingdom. Oh, yeah, we got our own this company. We got our own that company. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. And if you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Nobody knows everything. Nobody knows it all. But as I've said to you from the beginning, when everybody first came over, this is not going to be the ministry that you think it is. It's going to be different. Not out here just to tickle ears or to gain bodies to myself. Not about that. It's about doing the work of the Most High. It's about putting people in place. You have all been trained to do something even in the world. Now, how do you use it for the kingdom? Because, see, you know, I'm going to be truthful with you. As Hebrew Negroes, we ain't going to never come together as a people until we would unite ourselves in Messiah. He is our unifier. He is our glue. We have a hard time as a people trusting one another, always feeling like one or the other is trying to get over, always feeling like you're going to get something I'm not getting. But if we come together and live the life that HaMashiach said we ought to live, and we unite in him in the common purpose for which he said we ought to be doing, establishing his kingdom on the earth. That is the only thing that will unite us. And so each and every one of us has to be convicted, has to be committed, has to have an honest fear of the Most High Elohim. Has to be able to see the vision. And has to know what the promise is and understand that you may not even see the completion of the promise and still be committed to the promise. Just like all the patriarchs saw the promise, but they never received it. They're waiting for the Most High to finish doing what he's doing because they know he's going to call them back and we're going to all enter into the promise together. That's the word of Yah. But we got to do what's been given to us to do. The Most High didn't just scatter us around the world and use our slavery only for punishment. He also used it to put us where we are supposed to be to do this work. All we got to do is wake up and hear Yah speak to us and walk in his promises and unite ourselves in him, not us. Don't get caught up in you're a Hebrew Israelite. It's good for you to know. It's good for me to know. But don't get caught up in that way. Get caught up in that you're a child of the Most High Elohim. Get caught up in that you have a birthright in the Most High Elohim. Get caught up in that you can mess up your birthright in the Most High Elohim like Esau messed up his. Get caught up in doing the work that the Most High has called us to do. To preach the gospel of the kingdom. He says, when the true gospel of the kingdom is preached, then the end will come. We got to walk in that and believe that. So we need people to do that. We need people that can counsel, people who know about finance, people who know about architecture, people who know about all the other skill sets that the priesthood ain't involved in doing. Still got to be members of the kingdom, still got to be leading righteous lives, but I don't have to worry about you trying to get over or you all about the money. That's why we want to do business with kingdom citizens who understand. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. The book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 18. When you have it, if you say aye, or
aye.
Amen. All right, thank you. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. Why are you going to go to war with somebody that don't give you good advice? How many people they got over there? The enemy got. Oh, they ain't got but a few. You show up and it's thousands. But you came with a few. We got to understand that we are at war with the world. And when you're at war, you don't tell the world what you're doing. You don't tell your enemy what you're doing. Only a fool of a general does that. Oh, yeah, we're about to attack you over here. You won't even find the Most High doing that. So we got to understand that we are in a war for people's souls to establish the statutes, laws, and commandments in the earth to be that holy nation that lives by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments as citizens in his kingdom, that we are to be taking over territory, winning souls to the Most High and taking territory, and doing it according to the way that the world does it. But once we own it, it becomes part of the kingdom of heaven. It's just like when a foreign country opens an embassy in another country. Do you know that embassy is considered to be theirs? When you enter on it, you're on their soil? I pray we can hear this and understand. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice, make war. We don't want to be foolish. We got to understand that we are in a battle, in a war between principalities and powers in high places, wicked principalities and powers in high places. But we're just to go about doing what we're doing. Grab hold of the vision and understand that Yah has a work for us to do. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Says it all over again. We got to know when to move. We got to know when not to move. We got to know when to invest. We got to know when to sell. We got to know when to buy something and how to buy it so that it can't be taken back. We got to know what instruments, as far as financial instruments and tools that we have to use in order that everything don't go away because somebody left. Somebody died. Got to understand that we are doing a work in building something that is supposed to outlast us. So I don't know everything. The Most High will give me wisdom in dealing with a lot of things, but he also says you need to have some wise people around you. You need to have some people that understand what it is that we are supposed to be doing and that are wise and able to work toward that end. So I pray that we are able to hear this and to do it and to understand that the Most High wants us to have people with wisdom in all the different professions, in every nation. So let me read this, and then we will vote on what we've gone over today. Section D, the Melchizedek Order Ministry. A person may become a covenant fellowship partner of the Melchizedek Order through an appointment by the chief priest after meeting the qualifications of subscriptions in the following vows. One, must practice chastity if they are not married. obedience to Yah in all things, and then and to the local Zaquin, or the local elders, in respect to their duties of their ministry, recognition of the high call of their office and its scriptural significance. 4, be devotion or devotion to service and the performance of their duties and their ministry. Take their ministry seriously. Covenant fellowship priests of the Melchizedek order, partnership in this order, may be dissolved by termination of ministry, personal request, or by the chief priest. Covenant fellowship priests of the Melchizedek order, partnership in this order, must conform to the following rules of the order. All fellowship partners of this order must be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. All fellowship partners of this order must be of covenant fellowship with the body, or a body of like faith, which is approved by the chief. All fellowship partners must be at least 20 years old of age before making their profession. All fellowship partners will be commissioned and are authorized to teach the gospel, as well as to assist ordained ministry in baptism, marriage, and administering of the sacraments of the body, in addition to any other duties assigned them as fellowship partners of the order. All fellowship partners must be persons of mature messianic character who are known for his or her devotion. Completion of a probationary period of not less than 90 days, no more than 1 year. No employment outside of the order shall be allowed. Can't be going working somewhere else saying that you're a member of this order as far as ministry goes. That will interfere with the duties of the Melchizedek order. The Board of Council, subparagraph E, Board of Council. The Board of Council shall be professional men and women from the community, from the congregation of the body, chosen by the chief priest for the purpose of seeking counsel as to many secular matters in which the body may be involved. Examples, as I said, insurance, real estate purchases, mortgage financing, etc. Dealing with the world. They shall meet when called into session by the chief priest. And I gave you the scriptures in reference to those. We read them. We need to have counselors. We need to have people who see the vision and understand. All right. So I make a motion that the bylaws be accepted in these two areas as written. All in favor.
I second.
All right, amen. Amen, my sister. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Say aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Say nay. The ayes have it. And the paragraphs are adopted as read. On next week, we will start getting into authority. Authority, as by the bylaw that the Most High has shown it to me. Each and every one of us have to understand that in order to be part of anything, we want to be really part of something greater than ourselves. We want to be part of something that the Most High has truly sanctioned and that we are working toward a common end. And so we're going to be talking about authority on next week. We are roughly, let's see how far we are. We're roughly halfway through the bylaws. And we've been doing them for a minute. But I want to pick it up so that we can, you know, finish this and pass it and go on to do the work. I really want to start teaching on citizenship, not just from the priesthood standpoint, but citizenship from the standpoint of what the Most High has shown me. Citizenship from the standpoint that we are citizens of the kingdom of the Most High, and that we have to understand our citizenship from that position. It's like you're a citizen of the United States of America, or you may be have dual citizenship. You're a citizen of the U.S. and Spain or anything like that. You got to understand your citizenship in the kingdom. And that it's real. And that we have to walk in it. And so we're going to start getting into authority, into governance, understanding that we may be small as it is right now, but Yah has a plan. And as, we do and are obedient to what we're supposed to be doing, He will send others to do as well. Okay? And so I never want us to feel alienated. The Elohim that we serve, He knows each and every one of us. He knows how many hairs are on your head or not. He knows your thoughts. And as I said, He is with us. So we have to understand this, and so we have to bring ourselves into subjection, into submission, and to walk in His ways and to do the work of His kingdom. Hold on a minute. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So I pray that let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank You right now, and we glorify You and we lift You up. We thank You for allowing us to see the vision that You gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that we would take hold of the promise, that we would take seriously that we are Your children, and that we would not forsake our birthright, and that we would not forsake the promise, and that with everything that is within us, Father, that we would pursue the fulfillment of Your word. Father, we thank You for clarity of mind. We thank You for giving us a dedicated spirit. We thank You for allowing us to see how much we actually should really fear You and keep Your commandments. Because everybody doesn't see that, Father. Everybody doesn't hear that. Everybody won't do that. And so, Father, we just want to be Your faithful children. Make us more and more like You. Give us Your heart and Your vision. For we are Your people. Set in this time to do the work assigned to this time and this space. And Father, we don't want to fail You. So we petition You now to give us what we need in all aspects of the ministry, in all aspects of dealing with this word, in all aspects of dealing with this world. Give us what we need, Father. We believe that You will do it and that it's already done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we are going to fill my heart to play this song. I pray that you bear with me. Oh, before I play the song, I make a motion that we bring this meeting to an end.
I second.
Do I have a second on that motion?
I second.
All right, amen. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Anybody opposed to closing this meeting? Say nay. All right. This meeting of Yahshua Kingdom on this date is brought to a close. And hear this song. Keep you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, family, remember, I love you, but Yah Elohim loves you way more. Shalom.
What can I do?